tonight's a good night for practicing equanimity. You're not going to stop the music, but you're not going to give in. Sit here and let everything just go right through. You don't have to put up any resistance. And basically, the music is none of your business. The sound waves come up here and they're just going to go on. You know the old story about it. And John Cha says, it's not that the sound is bothering you, you're bothering the sound, commenting on it. So just put those comments aside. And don't even put up any physical resistance. Think of the breath in the body filling the whole body. Your body is made up of atoms that are mostly space. So there's a lot of space for things to go through. Try to hold that perception in mind. It helps with a lot of issues. When pain comes up in the body, there's a very strong sense that the mind will clasp a perception on it that gives it a shape, that gives it solidity. Makes it totally impermeable. So you want to undo that perception. When Ajahn Mahabhua talks about separating the pain from the body, he's trying to separate that sense of, or advising that you separate that sense of the pain being one with the earth element. That's the one that we tend to hold on to, because that's the one that seems most solid and heaviest and puts up the most resistance. So remember, earth is one thing and the pain is something else. When you don't glom the two together, you begin to realize the pain slips around. It's almost like quicksilver. If you were to ask yourself, where is the strongest point of the pain at any one point? It moves. First it's here, then it's there. You start chasing it around, and then you're no longer the victim. This requires a fair amount of concentration, but even when your concentration is not strong, you can try it. See if you get some results. Because a lot of times it is the perception you hold in mind. If you learn how to hold a useful perception in mind, it changes the whole nature of how you experience the pain. It's there, and you're not trying to push it out. What you're trying to do is change your perception, because it's the perception that creates the bridge in to cause suffering in the mind. So where there's earth, just let it be earth. Where there's liquid, just let it be liquid. Where there's space, just let it be space. And so on with all the other elements. And you focus on the physical elements, let the pain move around as it likes. Just be sure that you don't connect or glom the two types of sensation together. Solidity is one thing, pain is something else. This is one of the reasons why the Buddha makes a distinction between those two aggregates. And the same with all the other aggregates. Perception is one thing, the feeling is something else. The fabrications, the things you build up out of your perceptions, that's a separate activity too. And the awareness that's aware of these things, that's something separate too. This is an important thing, to see these things as something separate. And if you catch yourself connecting one aggregate with another right now, just say, okay, drop that perception. Try to keep things open and with gaps, so they don't gang up on you. This way the awareness can be here, and it can be in the midst of all kinds of things that would ordinarily distract you, irritate you. And you realize that the distraction and the irritation doesn't come from those things. It comes from the mind's tendency to want to have this thing be just this way and that thing be just that way, and they're not that way, and you get all upset. And even on an even deeper level, there's the sense of putting things together. That when you put them together, bite you. So try to separate them out. Feeling is one thing, form is something else, perception, the labels you put on things, those are other things. Fabrications are other things. The act of consciousness is another thing. See if you can see the distinctions among them. So if this big lump of suffering here gets divided up, once it gets divided up, it's a lot easier to deal with. It's like having a large job that you have to work on. And if you think about how big it is, it overcomes you. It's so big you can't do anything at all. But if you divide it up into little chores, this little job today, another little job tomorrow, bit by bit by bit, the job gets done. It's not overwhelming. It's the same with this big lump of suffering here. If you can divide it up into the form and the feeling, or the feelings and the senses of form, the different properties that make up the form, and see that even just between the feelings and the form, there's a difference. There are different kinds of things. Then the perception that puts labels on them, those are different kinds of things too. They're not glommed together on their own. You're the one who gloms them together. So try to have a sense of spaciousness around these things. Think of the aggregates as being like those atoms that are little tiny bits of matter with lots of space. It makes them a lot easier to deal with, a lot less overwhelming. This is one of the ways in which doing a little analysis first can help with the concentration. This is one of the themes that Ajahn Mun emphasized over and over again. It's not that you first work on your precepts and then move on to concentration when the precepts are mastered, and then wait till the concentration is mastered and then work on discernment. Sometimes it's necessary to use the discernment to help the precepts, or your concentration to help your precepts, or your discernment to help your concentration. These things have to help one another along. There are times when the mind is not quite ready to settle down or there's some issue. Use a little bit of your knowledge about what the Buddha taught about the Four Noble Truths, taught about the five aggregates. And see if it can help clear up at least a little bit of the burden that comes from having a wrong view. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we suffer so much. Our views are wrong. And we carry our wrong views into the concentration. We carry our wrong views into the practice and then wonder why we suffer. There are times when you can simply put a wrong view aside, not really think about it, get the mind concentrated. Other times you've really got to fix the wrong view first. Like the view that the pain and the part of the body that's pained are the same thing. They may be in the same space, but they're on different frequencies. It's like that image we talked about this morning, the radio waves going through us right here, right now. They're all there. And if you can ferret out a particular frequency, you can hear what that radio station has to offer. And you change the frequency a little bit, now you got another station. And it's the same with the physical elements and your metal aggregates. They're on a different frequency. They may be in the same space, but It's like trying to listen to two or three different radio stations all at once. It's just going to be a cacophony. But if you separate them out, so this is this station and that's that station, and you decide to focus on one or the other, excluding the others that you're not listening to, then not nearly as burdensome. Once you can separate the physical elements from the feeling and from the perception and from the awareness, you can sit there and just be with them. You don't have to try to stop them. If you try to stop them, well, that becomes craving for non-becoming, and that creates another identity, another form of suffering. We usually put them together because we like the things, we like the forms of becoming that arise when we put things together. But then again, they turn around and they bite you. So it's good to learn how to allow things to be separate on their own. You're not trying to destroy them. Just separate them out. Notice that these things are different types of things. They occupy the same space, but they're at different frequencies. When you don't listen to them all at once, they don't cause all that dissonance. This is how you avoid that paradox in the teachings on becoming. The desire for becoming is a form of suffering. The desire for no becoming is a cause of suffering, too. So what do? The Buddha says you look at things as they've come to be. And that means instead of your constant fabricating this and fabricating that, you just let things arise on their own, and you watch them. They do their thing on their own, and then they pass away on their own because you haven't glommed them together. Once you glom them together, then you've got to take them apart. So it's either craving for becoming, craving for no becoming. But if you can allow these things simply to arise and notice them, they arise, pop, 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 and pass away on their own. You don't have to go out and snuff them out. Things lighten up considerably inside. This is one of the ways in which you find not only that you can use this analysis to get you into concentration, but then you can use it to allow the concentration to dissolve away as well. Without you having to take on the role of being either the creator or the destroyer. On that end of the practice, the Buddha talks in very paradoxical terms about neither staying in place nor moving. Now, when the mind has a sense of place, something that it should be focusing on, and if it loses what it's focusing on, where else does it go? And it moves someplace else. Or it goes from one level of concentration, says, that's not really good, I wanted something more subtle, and it moves to another one. But there comes a point when you realize that no matter where you go, no matter where you stay, there's going to be suffering, so what do? Let things fall apart on their own. And things will arise, but they can fall apart on their own. Your job is simply if you don't put them together. Don't create a space out of them or place out of them. When there are no places, then there's neither here nor there. So this ability to analyze things and separate things out and allow them to be separate helps get you into concentration and helps get you beyond concentration. It's a very useful skill.